I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm sitting in church, my mind wanders. Did yours ever wander? Brother John was singing that song this morning, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and I said, "You know, I got to get ready for Wednesday night." And I flipped over there to Zechariah, where we're studying, and a verse jumped out at me. That's kind of what I want to talk to you today about, how the Lord leads His preachers to places to preach from. But there in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, it says, again, chapter 8, verse 1, again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me. I'm so thankful it comes again. And again.
Amen.
And again. Every day of our life. Until He takes us out of this life. And then we'll see the word of life really. The word of the Lord of hosts came to me again. And then when he sang that song, and then Brother Mike's song, that song by William Cowper. Now, I was corrected by Brother Henry Mahan. I always call him Cowper. C-O-W-P-E-R. And he says, that's not Cowper, that's Cooper. That's Welch. He wrote that song, and he drew it from the book of Zechariah again. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David. Fountain of blood. Fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this is what it's for sin and uncleanliness. Just think, the blood of Christ was shed for sin and uncleanliness. Well, I'm often, when Brother John was sharing with me, it's no different. I'm often at a point, where are we going, Lord? What are we going to be bringing? I know the book we're going to, because He seems to have led me in that direction, but where are we going? What are we going to say? Well, that great preacher of righteousness in the Old Testament, that prophet Isaiah, had this to say in Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? You know, all we have is the report. The once we begin making up things that are contrary to this report, we're out of bounds. All we have is the report. We're not going to be adding to or taking from. That's what the Lord intended for us to understand, that this is a report. And Isaiah was there praying, who hath believed our report? All we have is the report, the Word of God. We have nothing else. I don't look at signs and wonders. You know, a lot of preachers this morning are going to be talking about that volcano over there in Japan, is it? And another one taking place over here, because they don't have anything else to say. But the report tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and His great ability to save His people from their sins. And then he goes on to say there in Isaiah 53, and to whom is the arm of the Lord? Who is the power of the Lord? Who is the authority of the Lord revealed? Now, I am so dependent on that for myself, but I am dependent upon that for anything to take place spiritually when I preach the gospel in the Dalles or here, because from this point out, it's out of my control. I have nothing that I can contribute from this point out. All we can do is declare the report. God will take care of the rest of it. He has promised us that. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, look at a couple verses, if you would, with me in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. My ministry has been, the bulk of it has been in the Old Testament, and I wished I knew something about it. But I do know this, and we'll see this verse of Scripture in just a moment, that the Old Testament declares Christ.
Amen.
It is the message of Christ. It is what those saints had. It is what the Apostle Paul used. It is what the Lord Jesus Christ preached from. It was the Old Testament. So here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, there is a very interesting verse of scripture with regard to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and there in verse 7. Would you notice that verse with me as we think about Isaiah saying, "To who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whom is the power of God revealed in salvation? To whom?" Well, here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." You know, that's my state by nature. I did not know the Lord, and it wasn't revealed unto me. And I thought that I could help with the establishment of that revelation by what I accomplished and what I did and how I lived and what sanctification I performed and all of those other things. Well, in the same chapter in verse 21, read that with me, and it says, "The Lord appeared again in Shiloh." Isn't that good? That the Lord would come again. Now, he has promised that he would come to everyone that he gave his life a ransom for. He has promised that he will not leave them alone. I've had a lot of people ask me about sending away your day of grace. God's people, his elect, cannot send away their day of grace. The thief on the cross, his mother might have thought he had, but God had different things in store when he met him there on the cross. Notice here, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by what? By the word of the Lord." Oh my goodness. That's what we have. We have the report. We have the word of the Lord. We preach the word of the Lord. And God is pleased to reveal himself to his people. That's his pleasure. That's it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, many times I am like David here. Would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5? 2 Samuel chapter 5, there in verse 22. David wanted to know what God's will was. David wanted to know, "Lord, will you have me move?" There was a problem that had come, and it tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 22 that the Philistines came up yet again. You know, we've got the Philistines coming up yet again. We have that around us, but to thank God Almighty that he has paid for all our sin. He has taken care of it, but he left the Philistines in our flesh. We still have that problem of the flesh. We still have that sin that we deal with. Oh, wretched man that I am. And you know, I'm reminded that wasn't Judas, that was the Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who is able to deal with this but the Lord himself? He's the one that can continuously make us welcomed in his presence. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them for over against the mulberry trees." Now, what does that have to do with it? Look at the next verse. "And let it be when you hear the sound." You know, last night I heard the sound in the mulberry trees. Oh, they were oak trees. The wind. God tells us, Christ tells us, he told Nicodemus, you can hear the sound of the wind, but you cannot tell where it's coming from and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's out of our league. We can't get there. But he told David, when thou hearest the sound of the going and of the tops of the mulberry trees, that when you hear the wind, oh my, as the Spirit leads you, as the Spirit directs you, as the Spirit prompts you, then thou shalt bestir thyself. Get off your seat. And For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. We are so dependent upon the Lord going out before us, leading the way, directing us. When you see the wind in the mulberry trees, well, I have thought for some about what to bring this morning, and it just struck me that there are four verses of Scripture, or four passages of Scripture, that changed my ministry. I would like to just talk about those this morning. Would you turn with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture, and that's in the book of Luke, chapter 24. The book of Luke, chapter 24. I've probably shared this a number of times in the past, that this passage of Scripture was one that we were speaking from there at the Dalles many years ago, and I concluded with the comment, wouldn't it have been wonderful to be here at this passage when Jesus was talking to those two on the road to Emmaus, when he came in and began to be with them, and you know, he's the one that blocked their understanding of who he was. He's the one that didn't allow them to see who he was. They begin to talk, and you know, they kind of made fun of this guy that was walking along beside of them. He says, where you been? Look at this stuff that's been going on around here. And this is the third day. Where you been? Well, it tells us here in the book of Luke, chapter 24, and beginning with verse 25. Now, this whole chapter is so good. But verse 25, the Scriptures share this. And when he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, how do you and I know what the prophets wrote about? How do you and I know what those prophets were speaking about? It is only by the revelation of Jesus Christ that we understand that. So I am far from getting after those two on the road to Emmaus because of their unbelief, because they couldn't believe until it was revealed to them. They couldn't understand it or comprehend it. It was a hidden book to them. And so is the Old Testament Scriptures to every one of us, unless the Lord open our eyes and we are able to see what God intended for us to see about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to rebuild the tabernacle so that we can have that, because it is all speaking about the Lord himself and all his glory, all of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, that there was a place of mercy and there was bloodshed and there was a time when the priest came, and yet that priest was only no continuing priest. That priest was not a continuing priest. In fact, he was made a priest without an oath. You know what that means? It was never intended to carry on. It was going to be over. There would be an end to it. Who is the high priest that was made by an oath? A high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and his name is Jesus. That's our high priest that was made by a promise, by an oath, that would be an eternal high priest. Well, here he goes on in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 25. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now notice this. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. I've shared this many times. I wish I could have heard that. Oh my goodness. I went to bed that night, woke up in the middle of the night, and I says, we have it. It's the Old Testament. Let's go look. The Old Testament. All the things concerning Christ. And then, in that same chapter in verse 44, it says, and he said unto them, his disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning myself. So when we go to the Old Testament, or concerning me, we go to the Old Testament, we're looking at the things concerning Christ and how they were fulfilled. The other night, Brother Rick Warda brought up a verse that I've read many times, but I never saw the last two or three words in it. Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter? there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. These words share with us again much that was going on in the Old Testament. And as you look at it, show me Christ. Show me Christ. In types and shadows and pictures, yes. And God's people are never satisfied with the picture. We're only satisfied with the reality. We don't want all the picture. We can see it, and it's so wonderful. But Christ is the issue. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. The Spirit of Christ was in those Old Testament prophets. The Spirit of Christ revealed Christ to them. Did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Old Testament tells us about the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 53 just stands out. Psalm 22 just stands out. And so does the rest of it. Every sacrifice that was offered there at the tabernacle or the temple demonstrated the suffering of our Savior. Life must be taken. Blood must be shed. And that's God's requirement. But the true Lamb, God required His death, and that death is effectual. That accomplished the salvation of all His people. Well, turn with me back to a minor prophet by the name of Amos. Amos, over in the book of Amos chapter 3, we have a problem here. We have a shepherd identified here in the book of Amos chapter 3. This is one of my favorite verses of scripture because it just reminds me of how little the Lord got when He saved me. He got nothing. My everything is Christ. He got nothing out of it. A man dead in trespasses and sin. A man fallen in Adam. A man unclean, unclean, unclean. A man, a full-blown leper when it comes to sin. A man that had no idea of praise to God in any capacity. A man that would reach out his fist and yell at God, "I'll not have you rule over me." That's the kind of individual that God got. And yet here in this verse of scripture we find that this is who God is after. In the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse 12 it says, "Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd," as now look what the shepherd got. Did you read that? "As the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion," what? Two legs? Or a piece of an ear? Now that's not much. But you know what? It was the shepherds. Now that's just a picture, a type, and a shadow of all the people that God ever saves. Once we get the idea that we're pretty important, let's just go back here and find out I'm nothing more than what? Two legs or a piece of an ear. I'm a nothing that God saved. I'm a nothing that God came down with the gospel to. A proud, self-righteous person before Almighty God that He would be pleased to send His good news to. That He'd be pleased to send the gospel to. That He'd be pleased to reveal a God that is exceedingly great, exceedingly sovereign, exceedingly holy, exceedingly righteous, but He would send His Son to acquaint this wretched, blind individual with that God in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't get much, did he? Look at what we find the Lord Jesus Christ saved from sin. We find throughout the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament how little. I remember there in the book of Isaiah, and I think it's chapter 7, it talks about that the Israel was planting thousands of quarts of wheat and getting a little quart back. Oh, what a waste. If it wasn't for grace, it'd just be an absolute waste. But the grace of God that He would appear to people that are really such a waste. Two legs. Or a piece of an ear. Nothing. But they are God's nothings.
Amen.
They are God's nothings. They were important to Him. He would go after them. He would go into the mountains after them. He would look after them. He would find them. He went out and took this away from the lion. He took it out of the lion's mouth. He retrieved what belonged to him out of the lion's mouth. It was nothing to most people, but it was his, belonged to him. And he was going to redeem those that were his, even though they were nothings in the eyes of sin, in the eyes of righteousness, in the eyes of everything. They're nothings, but they're God's nothings. I remember hearing the story about a man walking down the beach after a great storm. It may be this one that's coming, I don't know. But there were thousands of starfish washed up on the beach there, and a man's going down there flipping them back in the ocean. And somebody comes along and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm throwing these starfish back in the ocean." He says, "But there's thousands of them. Won't matter." He says, "It did to that one." How gracious God's word is to that one. He sent a preacher from a revival meeting down to the backside of the desert to talk to a religious man that had been up in Jerusalem for to worship and was on his way back down to barbaric lands. Ethiopian eunuch sent that preacher to that man because this man was part of his two legs and piece of ear. This man that was righteous in his own eyes, and he's carrying a roll of the Bible. I don't know how many people today have their Bibles in their hands and don't believe a word that's in there about the sovereignty of God or salvation in Christ Jesus alone. He had his Bible opened up there and he's reading Isaiah chapter 53. And as this preacher comes up, God sent him down there to this man who is nothing more than two legs or a piece of ear, but he was God's two legs and piece of ear.
That's right.
And he began at the same place and preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I'm so thankful that that's what God does. He sends somebody to somebody that's a nothing and preaches Jesus. And God works his work of grace. He reveals himself to his people. We go away astonished at grace. Astonished at the work of God. So, there's the problem, a shepherd. And then, turn with me if you would back to the book of John chapter 6 and verse 63. Another passage of scripture that's just been a thrill to my heart. Because it does give hope to the preacher. When there's no longer anybody, any preacher in the Dalles that's holding forth the word of life, you know what that's an indication of? There's no more sheep there. That's it. I've looked and looked and looked, and I'm not going to say that there is not a gospel church down in Portland, Oregon, but a lot of people have looked. Somewhere there probably is somebody that's holding forth the word of truth. I'm not going to mark it out. But the reason there isn't people down there, isn't a church, is there's no sheep there. That's God's word. He will send his preachers. He sent his disciples, and he went himself to what? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. All right, John chapter 6, verse 63. That's a wonderful passage of scripture here. It says, this is just an eye opener. This is an eye opener. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Oh no, I don't want the rest. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Spirit quickeneth. You know, without the Spirit of God, we're just stuck. It was the Spirit of God that moved on the face of the waters over there in the book of Genesis. It was the Spirit that breathed upon Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that gives the new birth. We must, as the Lord Jesus Christ shared with that religious man, you must be born again. It only comes by the Spirit of God. We are so desperately in need of the Spirit of God, but He is all-powerful, just like the Father, the Son. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. He is powerful beyond our greatest thoughts. And He is able to go up to a dead person, dead in trespasses and sin, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life and quicken that individual. And that individual is made new in Christ Jesus. Now, the last verse I want to look at is found over in the book of Revelation. Would you turn there with me? Revelation chapter 20. When I was going through the book of Revelation many years ago, I ran into this verse of Scripture and I said, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I found out that this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you read it to see Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed. If you don't read it to see Jesus Christ, there's no blessing here. Jesus Christ is the message of this book. He's the victor of this book. Every time there is an issue, He is the victor.
Amen.
Every time. There is not a time that He is not the victor. I was speaking to a young man the other day, and I said, God has never lost a battle. And he was talking about, you. Eventually God's called you, you can say no to Him. God's not going to let His people say no to Him.
Nope.
They may say it the first time, second time, 10th time, 100th time. But in the eventual end, He will have the victory. He always has. Here in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, it talks about a bunch of people that have been beheaded. And that means to have their heads taken off. And I said, what in the world? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, the scripture says, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. For the witness of Jesus. These are brothers, sisters. For the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You know, that word 1,000, it means an innumerable amount. When we look at Christ's reign, we find that he was reigning in the Old Testament. He was reigning before the foundation of the world. He is king, always has been, never has reneged on it, never gave it up. He has always been king. He was king before Pilate. Pilate said, I have to do what I've already had to say. Why? Because the Lord was moving on him to do it. He's king. Well, what is this? Well, let's look at the verse. It says there, and the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. You know, if we look at the scriptures, we find out that there is only one first resurrection, and that's the new birth. We must be born again. That's when we're raised. That's when we're born again. We're raised from the dead, spiritual dead. What must take place in the new birth? Now, we were given a head in Adam. Do you know that? Adam is our head, our representative. We have him as our head. But that is not going to satisfy God. He's not going to let us go through life and eternity with that head. That head must be severed. Who must be our head? Christ must be our head. If he's not our head, we don't have him. He is the head of the church. That's what he says. So turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. We truly need to be brought up to the chopping block of grace and have that old head severed from us and be given the head, which is Christ. He is the head of the body, which is the church of the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, we read these words about Christ. We need a new head. Adam just got us into trouble. Adam brought us down. We fell in Adam. We have a whole bunch of problems accumulated because Adam disobeyed God. We go through life in that direction, and we'll never be any different unless the Holy Spirit gives us the new birth and raises us from the dead, and in so doing, He gives us a new head. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the scripture says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church needs one head, and that head is Christ. We need that life. We need that wisdom. We need that righteousness. We need that sanctification. We need Him. We need all that life-giving flow. Left to ourselves, we just sucker down and turn into a dried-up vegetable. Valueless, without worth, without... There's just nothing there. But the Holy Spirit in the new birth, when we're born again by the power of God, He has done something for us that we could not do ourselves. And that is, He gives us a head, which is Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. That's why we can have a spiritual thought. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's nothing more severe than being put on the chopping block of grace and have our old head removed. But in regeneration, we say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I didn't have a good thought towards you with my old head. I didn't have a good thing about you. I couldn't honor you. I couldn't praise you. I couldn't bow down before you. I had nothing in me that was worth anything. But in that new head that you give me, the Christ of God, the heavenly Son of God, I have a thought, praise unto my God. And then, chapter 5 and verse 23 of the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He put Himself in our place. He substituted Himself. He became our substitute. He filled in where we could not. And in the process of saving His people from their sins, He says, now, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let me give you some spiritual thoughts. And the spiritual thoughts, He is an all-sufficient Savior. He saves His people from their sin. His name is Jesus. He will do exactly what He said He would do. And so, all the Bible's about Christ. The shepherd only found two legs and a piece of ear, but they were His. The only way they'll ever be effectually drawn, it is the Spirit that gives us a new birth. It's the flesh profiteth nothing. And then, thank God, in the end, He says, I'm taking you out and giving you a new head where you can worship me.